Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McHusick. We got a really interesting series of pods here. And a young man came to me with this idea, Colt Scardinia. Colt, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me back. It's great to be here again.
Great idea for a series of pods is evolution. And we're talking about the evolution of the league from a number of different perspectives. We got good tie-ins to other sports, but without me talking too much about it, tell the folks what we're going to be talking about tonight, Cole.
Yeah, so this will be a series that you and I have discussed a little bit. It's called Evolution of the League. We're going to start with the structure right now, and it's really how the league is set up, right? So we'll get down to the brass tacks right off the bat of, you know, are we in an optimal situation, excuse me, for the league? And some people will say yes, some people will say no. But a lot of cool areas that we can discuss as far as ways that it could be improved or at least changed for experimental purposes.
Yeah, great. Absolutely great topic. One of the terrific ones that has ever been brought to me about this. And I'm like, it's so obvious when you do it. You know, we should have done this a long time ago. But let's not delve too far back into the history of the NFL. But I'm going to give people a less than 45-second recap on kind of how we got to the point we're at or into the recent future. Of course, the NFL was a 16-team league in the 60s until the merger. The merger came along and they picked up 10 additional teams in 1970 from the old AFL and became a 26-team league. That lasted until the two teams, Tampa Bay and Seattle, joined the league the same year. In the NFL, you really can't have anything but an even number of teams. Actually, that's not true. They've done it. They've done it now.
In 99, right?
Yeah, they had 29 and then 30, right? And they or did they even have 31 and then 32 at a point? Or did they both, the Texans come out with somebody else in 02?
It was 99, the Browns, and then 02, the Texans. So yeah, I think they were lopsided, yeah.
So anyway, we're getting into some of the things. is the evolution there. In terms of the number of teams in the league, is there any concern about growth in that? So far, they've been able to bring them on and sell them at a very high rate. The last one, the Houston Texans, came in for, I think it was $3 billion.
Jeez.
and they did not have a big expansion draft that raped the other franchises like they've had in hockey. Hockey, well, you know, it's like you end up with four number two lines and the Vegas Golden Knights go to the championship in
their first year. I don't know how the NHL got away with that, but I do remember we did lose some quality players. I think we lost Sharper and Jermaine Lewis. But obviously not, we didn't lose Ray Lewis or anybody, Jonathan Ogden, anybody like that. So they did do it correctly. As far as is there any concern, I mean, there's always, of course, a concern. I like to look at this topic. I like to look at a lot of these topics as the sort of the balancing out of scarcity versus optimizing the league, right? So the NFL, and rightly so, because they've been so successful, so popular, they think that they can expand in every way, in every facet, pretty much unlimited. And so of course they would, I must have memory hold this because in researching this topic, I went back and found some articles, recent articles, respectable journalists saying that the highest level of the NFL was talking about expanding to 40 teams, over this next decade. So I look back and that would be very fast expansion. I don't know if they could do that many expansion drafts and not lose key players from every team. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be as seamless as it was in 2002. But at the same time, would I love to see it? Would I love to see 40 teams? I think I would. They expanded, I think, like you said, in pairs about once a decade, you know, so two teams per decade, 70s, 80s, 90s, and the early 2000s. And then they've gone about 20 years now. And if they were to add, you know, eight teams over 10 years, that would really test their ability to dominate the landscape of sports as they have for so long.
Yeah. That's a great organizational project is just how you do that, because there's a significant dilution of talent in going from 32 to 40 teams. Baseball experienced it around two sets of expansions, in the 61-62 expansion and then again in the 69 expansion when they added four teams at one time. You know, there was some real dominance created. The Orioles were one of the teams that really benefited from it in terms of the dominance surrounding the immediate area of expansion. And I shudder to think what those teams end up with in terms of players when they first start out and what kind of disparity that may create. But I guess there is the long-term stability really comes in what's the amount of population that you're effectively drawing your talent from per NFL player, per NFL team, what per NFL unit, we'll call it. So if you have 32 teams, let's go back to the 60s. If you had 16 teams and you're drawing them from something like 160 or 180 million people, because really the United States was the only place where football is being played. You didn't have Samoans and you didn't have, you know, players from other places really pulled in, Europeans occasionally and whatnot. So they had about 10 million people per team that they were drawing from. And you move up to, you know, today, and we've got 32 teams. There's 320 million people, or 330 million in the United, actually maybe 340 in the United States. So we're still on the same level there, but they're also drawing from other areas of the world.
Right.
And I don't know. I couldn't put an exact figure on that, or you know, if each unit of population means the same because of the scarcity of players and whatnot. But I don't think they've really hurt themselves with the expansion to date, in terms of creating a highly diluted amount of talent.
Neither do I. I think the main area that they're deficient in is obviously quarterbacks. And and I would say you got about 12 to 15 top tier quarterbacks that you could feasibly win a championship with. But if you already have half the league, more than half the league that doesn't have that advantage, right, then what's the problem with adding in eight more teams? Because you're going to have, you know, if you look at all the undrafted free agents, you look at people playing in other sporting leagues, I think you could easily fill 40 teams, right? Especially there's more opportunity, right, more college kids think that they have the opportunity to make it, and they go for it, you know?
Yeah, I you're probably right there. There's more last chance you opportunities kind of thing. Yeah. Going back to your quarterback point, though, I'm really interested in that one, because I the one thing I would see there is we've just seen the very start of the evolution of really competing strategies of what makes a good quarterback with Lamar Jackson, really. You know, Michael Vick in a way too, but with Lamar Jackson. And I would think if you have to find 40 quarterbacks, you're going to find 40 quarterbacks somehow, and it may mean that you'll have much more of that competition of how football is played. And we're actually going to get to that on another show, but there's some natural overlap that comes here with the number of teams, is that if you don't have, you know, 32, let's say, of your 40 teams that can have a pocket quarterback who's at a highly productive level, and there's eight teams continually searching, which might be a normal kind of level we'd see in the game today, then you have a situation where teams are going to have to adapt to make things happen.
And I couldn't agree more. And I think that that's a good thing. I think that putting the teams management their feet to the fire and saying, hey, look, you're not going to find a Patrick Mahomes in this draft. So figure something out. You know, figure another way out to be competitive, at least try to be competitive. Obviously, we already see issues with tanking. So up, going up to 40, I mean, yeah, it would be – oh, sorry.
You'd kind of have to change the draft, I think, to adjust to that if your quarterback shortage is that pronounced that you'd create that. I think you'd probably have to go something like that. Well, you've already got us started on a great way down the road. Talk about some other elements of the game and how they've changed over time.
Sure. Well, the next thing I did want to bring up with you, and obviously this, the biggest change, or a very recent change, is just the number of games. I know it was 14 for a while. Maybe you could help me out with the exact year that went to 16.
So it was a 12 game season for a long time. A 14 game season came in, it might have been the late 50s, early 60s. And honestly, I don't really know. I know The big Night Train Lane had 14 interceptions in a 12-game season in his rookie year, which was 1952. So that kind of helps me frame it up. But I don't know exactly when they changed to 14 games. Unitas might have always been a 14-game season quarterback. So it would have been somewhere between 52 and about 57 that it changed.
All right, so then we have 14 games, and then when it was it the 70s when it was
78 when 78. I went to 16.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we've had 16 for a good amount of time now, and then mm-hmm. they of course it was either I think it was this last season was the very first one, and they bumped it up to 17. Just quick side note, it never looks right when I see the 8-9 record, the mm-hmm. 12-5 record. So my brain always reverts it back to a 16-game season. So 12-5 teams are always 12-4. But anyway, I was kind of wondering where you stood. Is this another area of expansion that you like? I mean, we saw the Ravens get bit by the injury bug, but that a lot of that happened early on. I'm worried that if they have too many games in the season, that we're just going to see the championship go to the healthiest team every year rather than maybe the best team or the most capable team.
Very legitimate question. And I hate the factor that luck plays in the current game. Same. And unfortunately, I think it may be a call to play the game differently. Like the game needs to be less violent somehow. And I don't think that's really what people want. I think people want a consistent level of hard hitting that they've come to expect from football. I think it's part of the fun of it. But you know, if you're going to get players through an 18 game season, you got questions. That said, you know, I can't stand the preseason games. Right. I just can't stand them. So if mostly I can't stand them as a season ticket holder. So if they could get rid of one preseason game every 2 years for me as a season ticket holder, and I get 1-9 every year of regular games, that make me very happy.
Seems like a good trade off. And I think the owners in a heartbeat would make that trade. They'd give away all the preseason in order to get that 18 games. I think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to be long and before it does happen. And I just don't, like you and I were just talking about, there's going to be so much luck involved in an 18 game season. I don't know. Right. I don't know what to do about that. Besides my main suggestion would be to add a second bye, you know, give guys it would actually be kind of a bye and a half, because what I would want to mm-hmm. do is attach, and I listened to a recent podcast you had talking about the scheduling deficiencies versus some teams got the sure. advantage, and pair that second bye with the Thursday game, right? So you always play that Thursday game coming off a bye, so then mm-hmm. you have 7 days before your game, you play your game, you have 7 days after your game until the next one.
So it's 11 off days between a Sunday, say, and a Thursday game you would play.
Right. So then you could take off until Friday, practice until Wednesday, and then play that Thursday yeah. game. And then you would okay. have four days after that until you start practice again on Monday.
I mean, that makes complete sense to me. I mean, I think the schedule probably ought to fit into this one too, this episode of the four we're planning here, but they've got to fix the schedule. They've got to get there's no sense going over the entire scheduling episode, but the playing people coming off byes has got to be fixed. There's no Agreed. Excuse yeah. for it. The playing people coming off Thursday has got to be fixed. Somebody's playing four teams coming off a Thursday this year.
I mean, you would think that they'd have somebody smart enough at the league office to just flag that and say, look, you cannot have this happen.
I mean, it's not rocket science. It's the simple thing. I know they want to get high quality games for the national games, but it is not rocket science to make those pairings within the division. The huge advantage of divisional games and those being set every year, that they exist every year, is you can always pull the same teams off to have the same disadvantage or the same advantage exactly. coming off the week. So you have that, and it just does not take a set theory expert to create an NFL schedule. So, you know, I know they have team constraints and, you know, all kinds of individual things probably come into the league. The Thursday home game for the Lions and Cowboys. I think part of the reason they've allowed that to continue is that the Cowboys make the league so much money. that they're so popular that they've said, okay, we'll give it to you. The Lions, there's no excuse for them to have it. They're not doing anything for the National Football League. I mean, seriously, they got to have that taken away.
Yeah, that is a privilege, and you should pretty much earn that privilege. And if you're not living up to that billing, then why do you have it? I agree there. So I think if you can add that second buyer, like I said, the buy and a half, you can talk me into not hating an 18 game season. I would go back to 16, to be completely honest with you. I wouldn't, if you gave me the option between 14 and 18 and 16 wasn't an option, I would think I would go 14 over 18. Just that, again, that scarcity of every game matters more. If you start playing 18 games of an NFL season, I mean, you're going to have 2 or 3 weeks that you can kind of just say, doesn't really matter. We can sort of throw this away, or this, you know, that stretch between September and, weeks 3 and week 7 or something, that it's just, if you lose the sense, if the fans lose the sense that it matters to the season, that these games are necessary and they can just kind of tune out. I wonder if they, you know, these extra games are going to be sort of like shooting themselves in the foot. I think that that's exactly what Major League Baseball did when they expanded 162 games. I think if you had a magic ball and a magic eight ball and you could see what would happen, I don't think anybody would have gone from 154 to 162. If anything, they would have gone back to 144, because I mean, nothing in April or May really matters in baseball, unfortunately.
154 would have been a good place to stay, but the game was booming when they did it, mm-hmm. and the game boomed more through the 70s. So they really didn't have a big loss from it. They, in fact, they expanded. They didn't have any problem. They had popular places. It wasn't really until the Twins and Expos needed to be contracted, and the Orioles got the rifle butt end of that by moving the Expos to DC. That the real scarcity of baseball was a question mark. There's still places who would probably, the cities that would like to, expand for baseball, but there's enough teams that are in trouble and could move, mm-hmm. that it's a question. The new stadiums have mitigated that somewhat, because a lot of these teams are signing to long-term leases that, if they get out of them, it's going to cost them a lot of money.
And baseball has the added advantage, at least the local teams do, that they do huge television numbers against, the local programming. So, I know it's a long time ago, but back when the Orioles were, in that 12 to 16 stretch, I think they were doing a 14, which is like unheard of for local.
Yeah, it is unheard of.
Yeah. So
that's a rating, not a share. No, that'd be a share, not a rating, a share.
Yeah. I don't know the terminology. I always check I don't know why I'm so interested in this, but I check the Forbes list after the end of every season and see, which teams were doing the best. And I always remembered that they had that huge number in 2014. So,
it's been a long time since I've been in broadcasting school, but a share is the percentage of, if you're talking about radio, is the percentage of radios supposedly that are listening to the event, mm-hmm. and a rating is the percentage of people, I believe, or maybe it's households that are tuned in. Oh. So even if the denominator includes turned off radios or turned off TVs for rating. So when Dallas, the Who Shot JR episode got a rating of over 50%, I think it might've been 53. That was a really incredible event for network television. Some Super Bowls I think have done better than that, but that was really, really a special event at the time.
Yeah. So 53% of all the TVs, whether they were on or not, that's kill for the numbers.
I got to go back to one other thing you said here. Sure. So the 18 versus 14 game season, I think I would take the other side of that argument first of all, four additional games with 14 being the base is literally about 30%, 28.6% increment to league revenue to play those extra games. And I really think you can linearly apply that basically the NFL would get paid on a per game basis by the advertisers, by the networks to do it. I think that they have an additional hook, which we maybe talk about in the economics of the game a little bit more with gambling, that, mm-hmm. that gives them some interest when there's not necessarily interest. Fantasy football would be another area where they have interest when there's not necessarily real interest. But people watch the games for different reasons. You know, you have the fantasy fans, you have the gambling people, and you have the you know, rooting interest fans as well.
Right. I didn't, I'm not a fantasy guy. So that completely, mm-hmm. That's a great point because yeah, if in those weeks three through eight, when, even if you're not locked into your local team, which you're a diehard fan of, everybody that plays fantasy needs their guys to produce. So they're going to be watching. So that is a good point. I understand that the economics of it and why the league would want to do it, from a fan perspective, like you and I were talking about, just the 18 game season, the amount of injuries that that would entail. And, obviously my biggest preference would be to go back to a 16 game season. I think they had it. I think they hit it right on the nose. And I think they're frankly getting a little greedy trying to get those extra two games. But I mean, they literally have not had a misstep yet. So,
right. And it's, you know, they've been pretty careful to take baby steps all along the way. They never expanded like baseball did with mm-hmm. with a bunch of expansion teams at once. The only thing close to that was really the merger. In terms right. of, you know, putting two leagues together, but that had already been pretty well established at that point. The other league had been around for 10 years. They had won the last two Super Bowls when they you know, got merged, and you know, they were a fairly legitimate group. What about some of the other structural things we've seen? Now, a lot of the scheduling difficulties come with when they're playing the games, meaning the days of the week that they play the games.
Right. Yeah. And it's, as you mentioned, you know, teams got four games against another teams coming off the Thursday game. I don't know. I obviously know why they went with the Thursday games, and it's I can't imagine it's not highly viewed. Yeah, it's I'm sure they're doing fine economically, but as much as the players hate it, as much as, you know, we've seen just, I mean, look at that Ravens game. They played on Sunday. Then they played that overtime game on Sunday. Then they had to trek down to Miami on almost no rest. And they just looked like they had never played football before and they got embarrassed. So it's clearly an advantage for the home team. It's clearly an advantage for the Thursday team on the next Sunday. So the fact that they've never really figured this out, and again, you could play divisional games there and give teams sort of that bye and a half and make sure everybody's, make sure everybody's on somewhat even footing. So I'm curious to know where you stand on Thursday games, where you stand on teams maybe playing Monday and then traveling across the country again and playing like a Sunday morning, Sunday 1 o'clock game. Mm-hmm. Where do you stand with all of that?
Yeah, I'm frankly okay with the Thursday games. I want them to fix the remaining scheduling issues, and they've kind of baby stepped their way through fixing some of them while ignoring, you know, huge ones like the bye week. And one of the things that makes it easier to fix those scheduling problems would be a second bye week. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you on that. And I think honestly, they could go second bye week, 18 games, two game preseason. The difficulty is, where do you extend the season? Do you extend the season at the beginning or extend the season at the end? And they haven't liked, you know, having Labor Day games be the start of the season, that Labor Day Sunday,
right?
Because families take vacations and it's more difficult for them to get big numbers, both in terms of TV and I think also in terms of some attendance issues in that first week. So they've kind of said they don't want to do that. But I think if the alternative is they can get the 18 game season that way, I think it's probably preferable to be playing a Labor Day game than a mid January game. And it would literally be like January 15th or something they might be playing on.
Yeah, and then think about what that's doing to the Super Bowl. Now you're sure. playing the Super Bowl in March.
February.
As far as the Labor Day is concerned, it's sad to say, but I think football trumps family at yes. this point. I know I would find a way to a screen. I know my family would probably buy if nobody else wanted to go. I know we would grab tickets for that Labor Day game if the Ravens were at home. So I think there are. I think the NFL can do what they want as far as putting putting games on the screen, as long as it's quality football being played. And that's where my Thursday beef comes in. It's just, I've seen enough teams lay an egg on Thursday night. I'm going, why are we, why are we subject to this? And then of course I watch every minute of it. So they know what they're doing. Yeah.
In terms of the Thursday games, one of the other things they did, and it's a baby step, is that every team plays at least a Thursday game. So there's more chance for egg laying when you get more of the chickens in those games yeah. In terms of, you know, not having quality, obviously. Let's talk about another huge bugaboo in the schedule for me, which is the international games. And it's a huge bugaboo, but it's also the I would say, enormous possibility for growth of the league. I think the league has kind of latched on to a couple things. One of them is gambling, and just completely getting in bed with gambling, realizing, hey, that's part of football. That's okay. If games started getting thrown for any reason, they need to take appropriate action, but hopefully that won't. But going back to the international, I mean, this the Big Ten, all the conferences have basically cross-pollinated with each other. Not because they want the teams. Like nobody, the Big Ten didn't need Maryland in the Big Ten. They did Maryland's market.
Right.
You know, they wanted the DC market. So this is an opportunity to get the entire nation of Mexico behind a team in Mexico City, to get the entire UK behind a team there.
And I would say, Ed, the baby step that way would be just behind the league. You know, I don't know what the favorability of NFL is. Of course, it's not as big as soccer there. But if they are going to grow it, they need to have live games. They need to create that event. They need people coming and seeing it in action. They need to meet the, you know, the Patrick Mahomes and the Lamar Jacksons of the league, and being able to sign autographs and things like that. But I'm completely with you there, that the next step would be to sort of have every team could have a secondary market. And I know either we spoke about this, or maybe I saw you tweet about it. When they kind of divvied up the globe, yep, and cut the Ravens out of the pie, do you think that had anything to do with Harbaugh's comments after the 2007 international game?
I think it's the Ravens who chose not to be involved internationally, which is a crazy decision.
It's insane.
You know, the Rams got China. I think, you know, it's like a billion what? Yeah. And you know, if you're talking about who gets Australia, you know, Japan, another great market, mm-hmm, if you could really tap into it, Mexico, fantastic market if you can tap into it. You know, the LA Raiders seem to have a big advantage there. Las Vegas Raiders, sorry.
I always do that. I still call them the San Diego Chargers. I was hoping we'd get Brazil. I know I've met a couple of people on my travels, and for a couple of Brazilians who were Ravens fans.
Yeah, great point.
Yeah, and I think they gave it to Miami. But again, if you know, Jacksonville wants to play in London, we can play in Rio, or Buenos Aires or something. There's plenty of places around the world. You give everybody, you take into account travel, you take into account buys, you take into account who they're playing the next week. But of course, send these games everywhere around the world. Let other people experience it. You know, it's going to be a boom for everybody. So, I mean, that's where I stand on the international games. I know it's tough.
Okay. So, You're actually, I'm trying to get this into on two levels. So the first is, maybe you get the current 32 to play internationally on a broader stage, where it's maybe instead of four games per year, what it is now, maybe it becomes 16 games per year, where a team loses a home game every other year.
Right, that we're sort of getting a home game with that 17th game every other year.
Okay, if your season ticket holder, you're losing a home game. Oh, sorry.
That's true. You wouldn't have to pay for it. I'm assuming they wouldn't make you pay for it. But
I my ratio of regular season games to preseason games just got worse. How about that
makes sense. So I didn't look at it from a season ticket holder perspective, but as far as if you still had 16 American-based games, right? So eight home, eight away. And then even if you wanted to call it a neutral game site, because no team, so the 17th game, everybody plays their 17th game somewhere else, whether it's Beijing or Tokyo or Auckland.
And so you have to find 7 or you have to find 16 pairings. It almost requires divisional play to do that. So you'd be taking divisional games. No, you can't do that. You have to do it. You could still do it with the single game pairing each year. Mm-hmm. That could be the one, because those are unique situations. So you have exactly 16 per year. You play all of those overseas.
That's what I would do.
And that would work. Yes.
Or at least look at it 1 year. Again, these are all, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think anybody from the NFL is taking my idea seriously, but it would be nice to just see them experiment a little bit more with some of this, you know, rather than, and they are expanding. I think this year they're bumping it up to 5 games, the Tottenham Hotspurs. I'm not much of a mm-hmm. Premier League guy. I think they are getting, they promised 2 games a year, and it looks like
2 at Wembley, 1 in Munich or something.
Yeah, Germany got one, and then Mexico City's getting one. So they are expanding, but I would like to see some big swings like we're talking about, as far as stuff like international games. Balance that out with, I don't want to see big swings on them going to the 18th game, but I would like to see a big swing with them going to 40 teams. Of course, that's not an experiment. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube there. Once you got 40 teams, you got 40 teams, you know?
Yeah, no, that's true. And I think you would really need to have the international markets to support that. But, you know, Brazil, Mexico, the UK, you put a team in Japan. Mm-hmm. The issue I would have with it is, now what kind of a travel situation does that create for the entire league? Because I don't think that you can just jam all those teams into one division, as we'd like to.
The international division.
Yeah, the unfortunates. Yeah.
I got a game in Rio, then I got a game in Tokyo, then I got
Dubai.
Sorry about it, but them's the breaks. You got drafted to the Dubai team, and now that's where you play. That would be a smart way to get to 40 teams. I would think, you know, 2 or 3 domestically, and then maybe 7 abroad. And 5 abroad. But it would be tough. I mean, if you're a draft pick, do you just throw your interview with with the Dubai team? So you don't, it's like, oh no, I don't really work hard, and I don't.
Everybody's on the same. On the same basis with that, right? If you might lose your whole opportunity to be an NFL player if you do that.
That's a good point. Yeah. So, yeah. Maybe it's more fun as a discussion point than actually seeing international teams. But I think that's the smart way to grow, and I would love to see them at least think about it seriously and possibly try it.
I'll tell you what, the pace. That whoever said the thing that you mentioned at the beginning, the pace of 8 teams in 10 years seems less and less realistic to me the more I think about it, mm-hmm. in terms of what they really have to do to manage a process like that, in terms of expansion drafts, in terms of, you know, collecting those fees. They certainly want to maintain the scarcity at all times, that's the central thing here, is the teams have to be scarce enough so that there's competition. There's right. a feeding frenzy for any team that wants to move. That's very important for any additional expansion spot they offer up. There's got to be 6 international bids, 3 from the U.S. They've all got to be serious offers. They've all got to be, like, at least at the Baltimore level of cities are willing to do anything to bend over backwards to get a team. They probably need to expand into Canada, mm-hmm. again to deal with that. But unfortunately, the only market they've got is already covered by a team that I don't know how close they are to them, but you know, Buffalo and Toronto. Already or have a relationship.
Right. I would be curious to know how many, I don't know what you would call them, Torontoians actually follow Buffalo sports, or if it's they, you know, maybe some of them do, but then they sort of, like Americans with either Premier League or something else, they I'll just pick a random team over there. I'll be a Newcastle fan. I'll be a Liverpool fan. Mm-hmm. So I would like to know what the breakdown is of Toronto residents that actually do follow or part of the Bills Mafia, you know, diehard sure. members, or if they could, because I think if you put an NFL team there and you still had one in Buffalo, I think those markets would be, because nobody in Buffalo is jumping ship. Those guys are nuts. They right. love their team. So I think Toronto, and if you look at the Raptors, they call that Canada's team. So if you, mm-hmm. If you live in Vancouver, you're probably a Raptors fan. So if Toronto mm-hmm. got a NFL team, Vancouver to Montreal to Quebec, I'm guessing they're all going to be, or most of Canada is going to jump on board with the Canadian NFL team.
It could well be. All right, I think we've hit on most of the things on the list, but what about the current playoff structure? Because that's something I think that a lot of people, you know, some people like it. I think some other people really hate it.
And put me in the latter. It drives me insane. I won't say every year. There are definitely years where exactly the right teams got in. They're exactly the right number, and the people that are playing each other should be playing each other. But man, when it goes wrong, it really goes wrong. And I think my biggest problem with it, is the home game that's given to the division winners when they are not playoff caliber, you know? So I did a little bit of digging through the schedule of the last couple of years, and it looks like in 15 and 14 and 13 and in 2010, a 800 or less team made, I'm sorry, 800,
500,
a 500, eight yep. and eight team, a 500, or worse team got in at the expense of a double digit win team. And I mean, if that's happening, if we're allowing teams like the 7-9 Washington football team, mm-hmm. To make it when, you know, 11 or 10-6, 11-5 teams are not making it. I think that's just a travesty. I mean, why are we playing why are we playing 16, 17 games, soon to be 18 games, to determine the best teams, only to let a substandard team in, and not just let a substandard team in, but to give them a home game in the playoffs? It just makes no sense to me.
I agree that it's a difficult thing to deal with. The NFL has put their chips on divisional play, mm-hmm. and obviously divisions are not even, but the NFL at least has the revenue sharing and the roller coaster parity elements that allow teams to succeed cycle to cycle in a way that they would like to run their operation. So you can run it as a level performance operation like the Ravens have very successfully, or you can run it like other teams that are perfectly willing to tank, like Miami, mm-hmm. like Cleveland, in terms of their inability to maintain, you know, high quality level of play, but then also being willing to tank for high draft picks and try and convert that into something that they can then turn around. Because I like that component so much, and I've seen what non-revenue sharing, how that has killed baseball. Yeah. I mean, that has destroyed it. You know, the NFL has the right starting formula with revenue sharing, but it's all based on there being enough scarcity around the league that national television still dominates those revenues. So I think as long as they can keep that, I don't have a problem with weak divisions occasionally creating a weak team coming out of it. I think that's actually better than having something where they said, you know, tell you what, Dallas, you get to keep a higher proportion of your revenues because you're generating more of the league revenues. Once you start down that dark road, very hard to get back from it. And they still get to keep some of their own revenues that are not, you know, league revenues, but.
No, I see where you're coming from there. And I wouldn't push back how the revenue is shared. I think there are minor tweaks that we could make though to the, and I'm the same. I like the divisions. I like smaller divisions. I think that we have like legitimate bad blood with the three other teams in the AFC mm-hmm. North, right? It's great. It's fun. You know,
hate is good for football.
Hate is good for football. I do not want to watch teams I don't care about, you know, mm-hmm. twice a year. And it's great. So when it falls apart, when it doesn't work, I think if they do nothing else, if you're not above 500, you don't get a home game, right? So if the other team, if the wild card team has 10 wins, you're the divisional winner that's 7-9 has to go on the road. How they haven't already done that is beyond me. Cause I mean, it's not really, I know owners push back about a lot of this stuff, but I don't think in their mind owners, when they're sitting down at the table, like, oh, I'm going to be the 7-9 team. They're thinking, no, I'm going to be the 10-6 team. So I think everybody would go for this as far as getting that. I would also, and if that's, if people were amenable to that, I would say the second part would be that if you're, maybe it's a divisional winning percentage thing, or maybe it's strictly you have to get to a double digit amount of wins. If you can't do that, you don't get an automatic berth. You just go into the wild card hopper with everybody else. We can structure
how about
this.
Okay. How about we make a different suggestion here? Because I think you're what you're talking about is very complex, but it could work. But what if you had your same 1-7 pairings? Okay. Your same 1-7 teams. So the one team gets a bye and 2 plays 7, 3 plays 6, 4 plays 5, et cetera. Those pairings don't get changed. Okay. But if what would be the road team finished 2 games ahead of the other divisional team in the standings, then they flip the home destination.
That works for me. Yeah. Okay, I mean,
that would get most of your problems solved, I think.
Right. If you have a 2-game advantage over the team that you're playing, and this would negatively affect the Ravens, and I'm still on board because I'm for fair football over, you know, homerism, mm-hmm. every day of the week. So in that 2018 game where, the LA Chargers, sorry, I caught myself that time, didn't say San Diego. The LA Chargers had to come here. I believe they were 12-4 and we were 10-6. You know, they had that 2-game advantage. I don't think that it's the end of the world that we would have to go visit them for a playoff game, and how it ended up. You know, we would have not had to witness some heartbreak firsthand. But I like that idea of the 2-game sort of, what would you call that? A trigger, a flip of the switch. Sure. If you get that 2-game cushion, then you get the home game. That works for me.
All right. Well, they could do that. I don't think that would be that hard to decide. It's certainly something that would add some additional excitement to what otherwise could be a meaningless divisional game at the end of a year. If you're an 8-8 team, sorry, if you're an 8-7 team who still has your division locked up going into the final week, but you have to go 9-7 in order to get that game at right. home. It's always good to add things that would add. And same goes for a locked in wild card team that can't do any better than the 4 seed or whatever. Mm-hmm. They then have something to play for. So that, I think that would be interesting. Or the 5 seed, I should say. What have we not hit on in terms of what we wanted to talk about here?
Well, I hesitate to bring this up because if the last one was a little too out there, this one might be a little difficult for people. Let's break it down like this. Number of playoff teams. You mentioned mm-hmm. the pairings 1-7. Are you fine with 7 entries per conference, or would you bump it back down to 6?
Honestly, I think I'd be fine with either 7 or even 8. And I understand why football does it. It's certainly be part of our economics episode. But if, you know, however many playoff teams there are in total, and there are 14 now, subtract 1, that's the number of playoff games you have, because everybody has to be eliminated. Mm-hmm. Single elimination is pretty obviously. Having 13 playoff games versus having 11 is a big financial number for the NFL. So I understand why they do it. It really makes sense from that perspective. Do I like that there's only one team getting a bye? Well, you know, you're the one who wanted more differentiation, I'm going to say, in between, you know, having a better record during the regular season and the others. And that's what that would create. You know, you.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with the one team getting a bye. I'm fine mm-hmm. with, well, to be honest with you, I'm fine with up to 3 teams getting a bye, because what I would say is that we're looking at this the wrong way. We sort of say we're going to take 14 of you regardless of how you 14 end up. So an 8-9 team, a 7-10 team. I mean, goodness sakes, is a 6-11? Is that good? Are we going to see a 6-11 team make the playoffs? I would say the playoffs are a reward for not just competent, but an excellent season, right? So let's say we're going to allow teams in the playoffs that had a playoff worthy record, right? So I know that this is going to possibly cost the NFL guaranteed games, but on years that they a very cool year to look at this idea is 2020. because what happens is in the NFC, the Washington football team was the 4 seed at 7-9, and the Bears were the 6 seed. This was before seven teams. The Bears were the 6 seed at 8-8. So in my system, the top three teams would get a bye, and four would play five on wild card weekend, and then they would play it out. But on the AFC side, there was actually...
So you'd drop one team from the playoffs from that year?
I would drop two. I would drop the Washington football team and the
Bears.
And the Bears. So it's five plays four, and one, two, and three get a bye. That's on the AFC side.
Two lost playoff games.
I understand. Look, I understand. But on the AFC side, there was actually eight teams worthy. Yeah, eight teams. So the Miami Dolphins were 10-6 that year, but they were the obviously the 8 seed, and they didn't make it. So on that side, nobody gets a bye, and you have four playoff games. And I looked at some of the last years from 2021 back to 2010, and the number of, so it was 12 years, but that's 24 fields between AFC and NFC. Mm-hmm. And the number of years that it would be less than six on each side would be 11 times. And the number of times it would be six or more would be 13 times. So you're basically evening out. I mean, more often than not, you're going to have six or more teams. So the playoff structure that we had from the year before, but obviously, like you said, you're risking you losing playoff money each year.
Sure. Maybe there's a compromise here. How about cross-seeding conference playoff games? And they do this in hockey, obviously, where they have, I think, top three from each division make it, and then it's two wild cards thereafter. But you could do the same kind of thing from in football by just cross-seeding for conferences. So the Bears are 8-8, but there's a 10-6 AFC team that's getting left out. Well, they kick the Bears out, and they go over and play the NFC teams.
That works, you know, as long as mediocre teams and subpar teams are not getting in, and are not, you know, above average to playoff caliber teams are getting in, whatever system that they have to enact for that to work, I'm for it. Okay. I'm going to go ahead, and I know that the revenue is going to, you know, I know why they expanded to seven. I'm not crazy. I know they wanted the extra money, and plus a Monday night playoff game. I mean, that's great. But three, and they've done this for 2 years now, right? So they had 2020 and 2021 where they had seven.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think that's right. The Chiefs were the 1 seed in 20, and that's when the Ravens played Tennessee, and then they played Buffalo divisionally.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So they've done this twice. Of the 4 7 seeds, three of them were terrible. I mean, that those Pennsylvania teams from last year had no right to be in the playoffs. I did not watch a second of that Bucks Eagles game because I knew that they were going to get annihilated. I did watch this. I like when the Steelers get manhandled, so I did watch that game. I do have to admit. But the Colts from 2 years ago were 11-5. Right. So if you go back to 6 seeds, which again is my preference, and then to leave out a quality team. But if you have this variable system where you can let in 11-5 teams, or like you said, let the Colts play over in the NFC for that playoff round, either of those works for me. I can't watch any more Eagles and Steelers of last year, you know, muddle their way through playoff games.
It's a great thought experiment. You know, going through this is really interesting. We do see, you know, obviously there's a common thread that the NFL is going through here is they're trying to maintain the scarcity of a product while putting as many high value games in, and not even for a second. Let's not even think for a second that, oh, what's two extra playoff games? That's enormous for the NFL. I mean, they only play 256, well, that was with a 16 team. I guess 272 regular season games. And that's not very many. And then, you know, it's having the difference between 11 and 13 in the playoffs when those games are probably, you know, twice as popular in terms of who views them and whatnot. I think the NFL will be loath to give that up. I also think the NFL will not go back to a 16 game schedule without some almost cataclysmic event causing it.
No, I'm on board with you there. Like you said, I do this a lot, kind of rearranging leagues, different rules, different things. It's the whole impetus for this series that we're doing. How likely is any of it? You know, we of course we always have to account for economics, because that's what the NFL is. It's a giant business that's a cash cow to all of the owners. So of course they're not going to, you know, give up free money. I would say from a pure fan engagement standpoint, 7 teams is too much. But again, you said you have fantasy football in the playoffs. You have gambling. You know, who knows what the spread was? I don't think either of those 7 seeds covered it. But I'm sure people out there enjoyed gambling on it. So you know, I don't try to take money out of people's pockets. If the NFL wants to have 7 seeds, I'm sure the Ravens will be a 7 seed one of these years, and I'll have to eat my words. But I think if we were to take a sober look at the playoff fields and say, do we need 7 teams? Are 7 teams warranted every season in each conference? I don't think the answer is yes to that.
Well, one of the things they got out of the 7th team is that the 6th team was not consistently shafting the 1 team in the divisional round, because the reseeding method makes it even more likely that the 1 seed gets a weaker team in that second game. But the Ravens in particular is a 6 seed beating the Titans then returning the favor as a 6 right. seed on the Ravens, and all the things that have happened over these years really are I don't think it's bad for the league. I don't think the 2008 run of the Ravens was bad for the league in any way, shape, or form.
Were they 8-8 that year?
No, they were good. They were 11 and 5. I think that's right.
Was it the next year? Yeah. They were like 9-7 or something like that.
Next year they were 9-7. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. But they barely squeaked in on with a last week win. In fact, in 2008 they needed to win that last game against Jacksonville to get in. But anyway, the being an 11-5 team, still obviously a quality team. They they went on the road. They beat Miami, who didn't really have any business hosting a home playoff game. But you know, hey, it happens. And then they went to Tennessee and handed it to them in a really exciting game, very much a mirror of that 2000 game. And then they went to the Steelers and we had a great AFC Championship game, as crappy as the result was. We had something that was really special and fun to watch.
Yeah, I know. That was a fun year. I don't think anybody would want an 11-5 team to not be in the playoffs. Yeah. There. Yeah. So, and that Colts team I referenced before from the first 7 seed in the AFC was an 11-5 team. So they would have missed the cut that year. So I understand that sometimes the extra playoff seed, the 7 seed, does let in a quality team, and I'll eat that. But I think more often than not, and from looking back just from today, just looking back on these different years and remembering some of these teams that got all these 7-9 teams that got in and got to host a playoff game, it was just making my blood boil. I don't think that was a good way to spend my time today.
This is a cool set of ideas. Is how could the thing be reformatted? I think when we get back to it, the really important things we talked about tonight, I'm not going to discount the playoff things. I just think a lot of that is probably immutable, and we could talk about it a lot. What I think is really interesting is how the NFL will control expansion to keep that franchise scarcity at the level they want it. So there's still a school of piranhas every time waiting to drop on the next piece of meat the NFL tosses chum that the NFL tosses into the water.
Of course, yeah. They're a smart league. They're going to grow in a smart, responsible way. But I mean, it again comes back to optimization. Somewhere out there, whether it's San Antonio, whether it's San Diego, there is a market of, you know, a million plus people that are going not properly served by, you know, not having, I mean, does LA need 2 teams and San Diego have 0 teams? It just doesn't compute with me. Like, I, you know, no matter how good Justin Herbert turns out to be, I mean, they're always going to be the Clippers out there to the Rams. So I don't know why we're doing, you know, I don't know why. So this isn't even expansion. Obviously this would be moving teams, but I think as long, you know, if 32, we go to 34, you can put it in Toronto, as we talked about, Mexico City. I mean, there are smart ways to grow, and you wouldn't decimate the other teams with 8 expansion drafts, which would just be sort of nutty. But that, you know, it is that leave that scarcity, have people champing at the bit to have an NFL team so that NFL owners feel comfortable, but then also get into those markets where you're really serving the league and you're really growing the product.
Outstanding discussion, Colt. Really appreciate having you on for that. Let's talk a little bit. Where can people talk football with you? Because I'm sure they're going to want to after this.
let's hope so. Yeah, I'm on this brand new media platform called Twitter.com. I just I wanted to get in at the ground level. I signed up 2 weeks ago. My handle is Last Be More Colt. So reach out to me. I don't know how it works yet, but I'm sure if people start messaging me, we can I'll figure it out.
Okay, you keep your DMs open. That's the key. That's what I do, folks. If you want to talk to me about football, whether it's a series of shows like Colt had, that's great. But even if you just have one topic you're really passionate about and you want to go into some depth on it in about 25 or 30 minutes, and I always say that, and we end up, I talk to people I like about football, and it always goes 45, 50 minutes, an hour, or whatever. That's fine. But we'd love to have you on, and just send me a DM. They're always open. I'll respond to you very quickly. Colt, last time you sent me an email, but because, yeah, you're, you know, a little behind technologically, but
just
like I can say that. Yeah. but we got back very quickly in terms of talking about putting the series together, because it's such a good idea, and appreciate you being able to put your thoughts together so well on this and be ready to go.
Not a problem. And I'm so happy to be here. It was great. First time we talked, I think we cursed Sam Cook right out of the league. So that was unfortunate. but hopefully maybe we do have that sort of power and we can affect some of these changes we talked about today. But I'm just kidding. It was a great discussion. Thank you so much for having me on, as always.
All right. You're welcome anytime, Colt. And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.